This is Michelada Monday, and it's not a real Michelada if it's not made with Modelo. Modelo Especial, brewed with the highest quality ingredients for a taste that's pure gold.
Of all tyrannies, a tyranny sincerely exercised for the good of the victim's well-being may be the most oppressive.
Metro some money, AM 570, LA Sports Live, everywhere on the iHeart Radio app. We gave away the Dodger tickets last hour, right?
I think so.
I think we did too. Yes, I believe we got
rid
of them.
Did we give away the Dodger tickets already? We still have one more pair to give away?
We still have two pair to give away.
It's a four-pack.
Yes. So I feel like we did it right before Scott Wolf, right?
Should we pull another trigger?
Let's just give away four. Let's give away four right now. 866-987-2570. 866-987-2570. Pair of tickets to see the Dodgers against the Diamondbacks in this homestand series right now that starts tonight. Caller 10, 866-987-2. Actually, let's go caller 8 in honor of the 8 innings pitched last night for Max Scherzer, who has got a .88 ERA in his 8 starts against the Dodgers, every single one of them Dodger victories since he was acquired at the trade deadline. Caller 8, 866-987-2570. And tonight, P, it is the return of Clayton Kershaw.
Yeah, and speaking of Clay's, Clayton, we spent the first hour of the show on Clay Helton. We'll have a little bit more as the show goes on. We do have the great Brandon Staley after the huge Charger victory on Sunday. Yesterday, Matt was in D.C. with Daniel Jeremiah and Shannon Farron. And we'll talk a little bit of NFL as well with the top story of the day. It's a Modelo Michelada Monday on PMS. And while we're at home relaxing after a long day of work, those of us that have not been removed today and given millions of dollars to not coach football, we'll crack open a beer that's brewed with the fighting spirit. And that spirit is crisp and clean and refreshing. Refreshioso, so to speak. Modelo Especial. Brewed with the highest quality ingredients for a taste that's pure gold. And just real quick, Matt, I want to say one more false narrative regarding Clay Helton that's going to float around is that he was connected to Pete Carroll. He was never connected to Pete Carroll. Kiffin worked for Carroll. Sark worked for Carroll. That's why they got hired. Kiffin brought in Helton after Pete Carroll was already in Seattle. Clay never had any of that Carroll success at USC. He wasn't there. Clay Helton was fired as the Memphis offensive coordinator in the 2009 season and accepted the job at Arkansas State that December. And around January, Pete Carroll left USC for Seattle. Lane Kiffin got the job. Within a couple weeks, he hired Clay as the quarterback coach. Clay was at Arkansas State, and Kiffin threw him a lifeline. And they knew each other because Monty and Kim, their dads, were old buddies. So Clay's USC experience is 2010 from 2021. It's all dysfunction, not success.
Well, he certainly carried the torch on that one.
Of course, there was that Sam Darnold season.
There was that.
Can never
saved
be denied.
By Sam.
Can never take that away from us. Can't
it's
take
like,
that away from me.
Cliff Kingsbury might be getting one of those from Kyler Murray this year.
Yeah.
Here's my number.
I'll save you, Coach.
Number of the day.
Number of the day is 1. Totally random. My first time at the new offices of NFL Network. And
today's the first time?
Today's the first time. I'll be doing the NFL UK broadcast for Monday Night Football because they're used to soccer and F1, and they don't like commercials. So anytime the Monday Night Football broadcast goes to commercial, MJD and I pop up on the screen and do analysis of what they just watched. I host it. He does the analysis, and we do interviews and stuff like that. So
it's a crack of show.
Broadcast. It's wildly popular over on Channel 5 and in the UK, and it's pretty cool to do it. But when I walked in, P, I ran into one guy standing in the lobby, Commissioner Goodell.
Oh, yeah?
Just like one of those weird face-to-face, and the first word out of my mouth, I go, "Hey, Commish." It stuck on my hand.
How exciting.
And shook his hand, and we had about a five-minute conversation, which was pretty cool, but totally random. One of those when you just see someone that you don't know, but you know who they are, and you just start talking because you feel like you do know them. Completely random.
He was a speaker at the Fox Football Seminar this year, but I did not approach the commissioner.
Yeah.
Of course, I don't work at the NFL either. You know, I did do one preseason game. That's what I would lead with
right?
If I did see the commissioner.
You know what I called the game right over there, commissioner? Right there.
Preseason. Rams Chargers. You might have recognized it as the first game they let the fans in for the pro football. Hey, Adam, did we give away all the tickets or do we have more tickets? Like, what is our ticket situation? We're okay? We don't have to do anything right now? All right, let's get to the song of the day with the one and only Ronnie Fascio.
This is the song of the day.
La Chica de Hoy is the title of our song of the day. Something new from Elvis Costello and the Attractions, featuring Chilean singer, songwriter, and musician Cami. A Latin-inspired tune from the album Spanish Model. And I'm a horse. Michelada Monday on the Petros and Money Show. Mixing up those spices for a three-hour tour into the lands of great sports talk. Where Dodger baseball is on the horizon as the Arizona Diamondbacks slither into Dodger Stadium for three. And it all begins with our good friend David Vasse and his full bottle of seltzer. Ready to squirt you down with your Morongo Casino Dodgers on Deck show at 6 o'clock.
You know what I would have led with, Matt, if I were you? I'd be like, hey, this one time on the radio, I wrote this song when you took over as commissioner.
Yes.
about all the penalties for the guys that get in trouble with the law. And it's Roger Goodell and the Hammers of Hell, raining down on the NFL.
That's right. Our first parody song ever.
That's all I think about when I see him. I almost sang it to him when I saw him at Fox. Or wherever we were, the Arizona Biltmore.
Yeah.
Goodell was our speaker. And he said, I like it when people tell me I can't do something. And you know what I say? Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah? I'm Roger Goodell.
Yeah, the hammers of hell raining down on the NFL. Brandon Staley will join us when we return. Talk about that big Chargers victory out in the DMV over the Washington football team.
Should we ask him if he's going to bring in Clay as a QC guy or something?
Let's do it.
Bring a little QC action.
I don't think he'll ever call us again.
What time's kick with the Cowboys, Matt?
125, I think.
On 98.7?
98.7.
I mean, it didn't even make our rundown.
Right?
He's got UCLA Fresno there.
The hell? He's all nervous. He's all nervous about the Raider game tonight. They might be the only team with a loss in the AFC West.
Fully functional employee Adam is here. At follow Adam A on Twitter. At Ronnie Fascio. We'll post the playlist. At Matt Money Smith, check him out tonight on Channel 5 if you're in Surrey or Essex or Derbyshire.
Exactly right.
And at Petros and Money is us and at the old Pete. Clay Helton has been fired. A coach with a job. Brandon Staley will join us next.
Petros and Money.
AM 5-7. Back to Michelada Mondays on the Petros and Money Show. It's not a real Michelada if it's not made with Modelo. Modelo Especial. Brewed with the highest quality ingredients for a taste that's pure gold.
Petros and Money. AM 570 LA Sports. Your home of the Dodgers. Big sweep over the weekend. Historic outing for Max Scherzer yesterday. A perfect inning, an immaculate inning, I should say, and a darn near perfect game. Allowed one hit, no walks through eight as the Dodgers swept the Padres. Remember, we are still giving away four packs of tickets to Dodgers Diamondbacks this week. Every single hour that continues through tomorrow with Dan Patrick, Colin Coward, Rogan and Rodney, and right here on the Petros and Money Show. P, we are also your home for that Chargers program, and coming up this Sunday, 1 o'clock, just after a 1 o'clock kick on our sister station, Alt 98.7, home opener against the Cowboys.
Yeah, that's where the program runs, the Chargers show on 98.7. The franchise is celebrated here on the Petros and Money Show. Matt is the voice of the Bolts and the head coach of the Bolts. One game, one victory. He went to D.C. and partied hard. All over the Washington football team. It's a competitive NFL game, and everything worked out good for the Chargers. They flew home. Another game coming up, and everybody's excited about it. Congratulations on the victory, Coach. Your very first one as an NFL head coach, obviously. Brandon Staley on PMS on the Chevy Silverado Celebrity Hotline after getting the game ball in the locker room, which was a lot of fun. It had to be pretty cool. I know you're very professional and all, but I mean, it had to be pretty cool, especially on the road.
Yeah, guys, there's nothing like a locker room after a win, especially in the National Football League, because I think all of you guys know how challenging it is. So you have to respect winning in this league, and we're certainly going to do that. We're going to cherish it. And so I just felt like we won as a team yesterday, and I think that that's what I was most proud of in the ball game. And then to receive a game ball from your players, who mean everything to me, certainly you can't do much better than that. So very excited about how we played yesterday.
You know, going into it, Coach, there seemed to be, you know, one sort of topic that was kicked around more than anything else, and that was how this brand new, at least four or five starters, brand new on the offensive line of the Chargers would hold up against perhaps one of the best, if not the best, front in all of football. You had a chance to see it in person and live through it, but then I'm guessing you had a chance to watch it back again. What do you take away from how that group played?
Well, just really fortunate to have those guys. Those guys are pros. You know, it was a big man's game yesterday because that's an outstanding front that we played. That group of six guys is as good and as talented and as deep of a group as you're going to play, and they're extremely well coached. So much respect for Ron Rivera, Jack Del Rio. So I felt like that was a real accurate snapshot of who we are. There's a lot of things that we're going to learn that we can do a lot better this week, and we're going to need to, but I felt like to go in that environment, operate against that front, both in the run game and in the pass protection game, I felt like it was a good first outing for us, and I felt like the experience of those four guys, of O'Day, Matt, Corey, Brian, that really stood out to me, and then just the poise of Rashawn as a rookie. Those guys played five as one, and then Storm Norton in the second half coming in off the bench, just can't say enough about him, and you know, just felt like it was a performance that we had to have, guys. If we hadn't played well up front, there's no way we would have won that football game.
You had you mentioned Rashawn Slater, the first round pick, your second round. So Rashawn, you know, again, it seemed like he had a heck of a game. Pretty much you left him out there on his own, it felt like, almost the entire game, dealing with Chase Young or Montez Sweat. Your other rookie, Asante Samuel, played huge as well. Josh Palmer had a giant third down. I think it was a third down catch, if I remember right. A giant catch, though, to extend that last drive that helped you win the game. Just kind of your thoughts of those three guys, your rookies, that gave you what they gave you in their first bit of NFL action.
Yeah, I thought those three guys, like you mentioned, and then we had Larry Rountree, I felt like played a really nice game at running back and on special teams. Nick Neiman and Chris Rump as well. I felt like those guys and Mark Webb, I mean, we had a bunch of guys out there, guys, and that's what I was excited about because they're going to learn a lot from the film. Every time you go out as a rookie in the NFL, you learn something. But I felt like all of our rookies were productive in the game yesterday, and that's a great sign for us moving forward. Proud of our coaches for pouring into these guys, proud of those players for pouring into their game, and you know, that moment wasn't too big for them. And at the same time, there's a lot to look at where we need to grow. So they're all ball guys, and you know, it's been fun today to kind of unpack that game and get moving to Dallas.
Not a lot of moral victories in the NFL, if any. Luckily, the Chargers don't have to worry about it. They won! And now they're back at home after the victory. Brandon Staley, the Dayton Flyer, is our guest on the Petros and Money Show on AM 570 LA Sports. I don't know if they let you do that at Dayton when you had a lead and a little bit of clock to run, and they just let you throw it down the field like you guys had Herbert uncorking it. Just the confidence that you guys showed in your young quarterback, it really it shows on the field in the way he plays. Just talk about trusting him down the stretch of a football game.
Well, I think, guys, number one, we do have full confidence in him. And I felt like, you know, when you have a quarterback like him, it does give you the confidence to execute the game plan to the fullest. And the fact of the matter is that's a really difficult front to run it against. I really like the way we ran the football at times yesterday against that front. But in order for you to beat that team, you got to be able to throw the football. And to close the game out, I know that sounds counterintuitive, but to close the game out against them, you had to throw it.
Yeah.
And we wanted to stay aggressive. We still had some inventory in our game plan that we felt like we could get to in that fourth quarter, specifically on that last drive. And, you know, certainly it took all 11 guys. And, you know, there was some, you know, obviously Justin was poised. He was precise. Had full command, but there were a lot of clean pockets on that last drive, guys. If you watched the All 22, there were a lot of clean pockets, and then we had some guys step up and make some catches. You know, KJ Hill did a nice job on that last drive. It was kind of a team effort. You had Mike Keenan. You know, there were several guys making plays, and that's a sign of good offense. And I felt like it was a good team performance by our group.
Coach, look, I'm an idiot half the time. I don't know what the hell I'm talking about when the bullets are flying out there. But I was really confused at times by this new approach that the NFL is taking to replay. Similar to college, where you got eyes on every minute of every game. I think it might be back in New York, or maybe it's at the booth in the stadium. But there were a couple plays, particularly the one that stands out, is the one they called a fumble from Herbert, even though the ball traveled about 15 yards forward. Am I right? Could you not challenge that? Is that something that they just came over and said, no, it's already been looked at in New York, it's not challengeable? How does that work now with this new rule in place?
Correct. That's what I was told on the field. You can't challenge it because New York has looked at it and they've made a ruling.
Yeah, it just seems like, and I think it happened a second time as well, where that means they're unchallengeable. Once New York says it is what it is, that's the end of the play. No more discussion. That's kind of how it works now moving forward.
That's what has been communicated to me.
Jeez.
That's all you're going to get, man.
Yeah, I know. Trust me, I felt the same way when I was in the middle of calling it, trying to make sense of it.
Yeah, guys. You and me both.
Yeah, gotcha. Don't want to get anybody. We'll move on. Moving forward to what we love to talk about here, Coach, and that's special teams. And you had Tristan Vizcaino.
Number one.
You know it's going to come up.
We're your and you know it's going to happen. Football and your all three phases show of record.
You had Tristan get out there, and it wasn't just making all of his kicks, two field goals and both extra points. But it also seemed like you asked him to do some different things on kickoffs, and whatever you asked, he seemed to execute perfectly, whether it was blowing it out of the back of the end zone or trying to pop that thing up so it landed right around the one to let your coverage unit work. Just share with us your thoughts on how he performed, and really his first bit of game action, just his second game as a professional, though.
Yeah, I really like coaching Tristan. I think that, number one, he benefits from having a really good operation. I think when we signed Matt Overton, that was a huge acquisition because him and Ty Long, from an operations standpoint, that gives you a lot of confidence as a kicker, a young kicker in this league. It's similar to a Justin Herbert receiving a snap from a Corey Linsley. Okay, that's just a different movie that you're watching as a young player. And so I think that he's got a lot of confidence that way. But I was really proud of the way he kicked the football. You know, they were two extra points and two shorter field goals, but the flight of the football, the trajectory of the football is what we really judge him on. And when you do have those shorter attempts, you really want to make sure you get the height on the football because that's a good front that's coming to block it. So his height and his trajectory were where, and his timing, as importantly, were good, solid. And then, you know, as you guys mentioned, from an observation standpoint on kickoff, we do want to use him as a weapon. We feel like that's part of the reason why, you know, he is different. He's unique because we can place the ball a lot of different places and give our guys a chance, depending on the circumstance, to make plays or to kick it out. And so I feel like it was a good first time out for him. And, you know, there's a lot of work to do with him to establish consistency and performance. And that's what we're going to keep doing because he's still brand new. And there's a lot that we can unpack with this guy because he's got a lot of ability.
Coach, I love the Jacksonville Jaguars as much as the next guy, but is it different when that there's a star on the helmet coming to play you? You've been in the NFL a while, and you're obviously an accomplished man. Is it cool to play against the Cowboys?
Well, last year, as you guys are aware, we opened up with them on Sunday night. And so, you know, I'm aware of this team, their personnel, and specifically their offensive personnel. You know, those guys are as complete of an offense as you're going to defend. You know, last year in the first game, you know, they were healthy. You know, that was a full offense that we played. You know, last year, obviously, the injuries really hit them hard. But they're a very complete offensive football team from the front to their quarterback, their runners, their receivers, tight ends. It's a very complete group. And then I think defensively, what you saw in the first game, you know, with the acquisition of Dan Quinn, Joe Witt, two guys I have a lot of respect for coaching-wise, those guys are playing really, really hard. They're going to bring a style of play where that defense is really going to improve. They've got some difference makers. And, you know, I think that, you know, they're very well coached on special teams. So it's a complete football team that we're playing, you know, because I know how good the Tampa Bay Bucks are because we played them last year too. And we all know that they are the Super Bowl champs. And, you know, that was a high-level football game that was played last week. So a very complete team, and we're going to have an outstanding week of practice this week.
Last thing for you, Coach, and I hate to end on, I don't know if it's a negative or not, but just the penalties that were called on Joey and just trying to discern, you know, what constitutes an unsportsmanlike or a penalty like that and kind of what you made of those two calls, because they were certainly impactful calls when they were made.
Definitely impactful calls. The one in the 2 minute at the end of half was certainly impactful. And then, you know, I was really happy, guys, with the way we responded on the second one, because we get off the, you know, we hit the fade stop to Mike right after the takeaway. We take away, fade stop, then, you know, get him to third and four, get a stop. You know, we have all the momentum. Then there's another roughing the passer. And then we were able to respond to that, get another stop, get the ball back to Justin, and then he was able to close it out. But I felt like, you know, we're just going to try and get clarification on the first one, guys, because I think there's a lot of physics involved in that one. And so we're just going to try and figure out how to coach him better. Because I know his intent, if you watch the play, he pulls up. So we're just going to figure out how to coach him better, work with the league on that. And then on the second one, you know, felt like, you know, he was in real good shape there. So we're just going to keep educating our guys the best we can. And that's all you can do. And you do it in a respectful way, fellas, because, you know, there's no perfect decisions out there. You know, we know that, and we got to keep it moving. And sometimes you just, you respect the call, you move on, right? And I felt like we did a good job of that in the game. But as you said, Matt and Petros, we got to make sure that those impactful penalties, we did win the penalty battle, but the penalties that we did have, particularly defensively, three out of their four scoring drives contained a defensive penalty. So we need to make sure that we do a good job moving forward of eliminating that.
Brandon Staley executed the interview as well, and they're going to execute a great week of practice, and they're going to take out those Dallas Cowboys in SoFi by executing on 98.7 with Matt Money Smith, Daniel Jeremiah, and Shannon Farron on the call. God bless you, Coach. Congrats on the first win, and we're so happy that you made it back in one piece from our nation's capital.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
All right.
All right, you as well.
Tried to send, you know, people out to do cool stuff. Nobody did anything.
I get in late. I mean, didn't you say you wanted me to get to one of the memorials? I did.
Yeah, the biggest one.
Got there. Got my pipes. The most on Instagram. Yeah.
You used it as an opportunity to sell the pit vipers. Pit vipers. I'm sure George Washington would appreciate that.
Oh, come on. You know how quickly they would have dispatched the British had they been wearing pit vipers.
Oh, they would have been over. It would have saved a lot of amputations.
Redcoats have been like, F this.
Back to Michelada Mondays on the Petros and Money Show. It's not a real Michelada if it's not made with Modelo. Modelo Especial, brewed with the highest quality ingredients for a taste that's pure gold.
Petros and Money, AM 570 LA Sports, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Let's do it. Let's give away the pair of tickets for this hour, Dodgers baseball. Yes, a lot of things happening around town today, but do not lose sight of the fact that we are your home of the World Series champion Dodgers. You will hear them tonight on AM 570. You'll hear them on the iHeartRadio app. And if you want to go to one of the games against the Diamondbacks in this series right now, we've got a four-pack of tickets. Thanks to our friends at Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times. Less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. Caller 10. Caller 10. 866-987-2. 570 and DV's giving them away on Dodger Talk tonight on the post game. Dan Patrick tomorrow, Coward, Rogan, and Rodney as well all day tomorrow. Caller 10 866-987-2570. We got Dodgers on deck at 6. First pitch at 7.
Well, I last time got assigned a USC game when they were in the midst of a transition was when they fired Lane Kiffin on the tarmac. And Ed Ogeron, they had a bye week that week. This week they play Washington State. They fired Lane Kiffin on the tarmac. Ed Ogeron took over, and Joel Klatt, Justin Kutcher, and I did a Thursday night game on FS1 at the Coliseum, and it was Ed's first game as the interim head coach at USC. And I got the assignment this morning that we were going to do USC-Oregon State in about 12 days at the Coliseum, the Oregon State team that I just saw on Saturday night, and I was like, man, I'm going to have to talk to Clay Helton on the Zoom. Going to be kind of weird. And now it's not, Matt. It's going to be Dante Williams and Graham Harrell and his air raid and Todd Orlando and his flat top and a new attitude coming off what probably will be a Washington State victory. Who knows? Maybe not.
I mean,
a victory over Washington State.
They never play well up there, right? Isn't it always Oregon State, Washington State? They always struggle up there.
Yeah, that's a hard places to go. I mean, those are the outposts of the conference, and those are the toughest places to go and play. But it will be interesting as everybody's talking about what to do next with USC. Obviously, Dante Williams is not going to be the head coach going forward unless they win every game and beat Alabama or something in the college football playoff. But what's probably going to happen is USC's going to go after a high-profile big fish, and that's
why
you make a move like
that. They want to know who you want. What's the name? Like who? What? Because that's what everyone's going to start speculating, right? Who can we get? It was Urban Meyer before he got hired by the Jags. So I think that's kind of what everyone wants to hear. Who do you want to see take that job?
Who does USC want to see?
No, who do you want to see?
Like me personally? Me within
you
my
personally.
Own? You personally.
Restore.
The guy that lives in my skin?
Who will defend the walls of Troy? That's what they want to know. Who will defend the walls of Troy?
Is King Priam available? Is he with is he with Scott Boras? I think the usual suspects, program builders, guys that are going to go find you the next Lincoln Riley or Ryan Day or whoever, guys that knows how to develop a front, guys like Bob Stoops, big money guys that everybody's going to pay attention to, just a hire that cracks necks. But it's not just that. It's you have to allow that. It's the same thing we've talked about for years. You got to allow that guy to hire the staff. He's got to be able to hire Lincoln Riley or whoever. The Venables. Mario
Will Venables, the next guy.
Yeah, to coach your off. Hire him to coach defense if that's all he wants to do. You know what I'm saying? Like, you've got to hire a figurehead, gigantic dictator. You have to hire Castro. You have to. That's football. It can't be a nice guy that runs like a free clinic. And that's what USC's been for quite some time. And the thing that bothers me is not so – I'm surprised that Clay got fired today, because what happened on Saturday is no different than what's happened over the years with USC football under Clay Helton for 7 years. The last 3 years, no one would have ever been surprised if he had been fired at any point. No one would have been surprised. So suddenly now's the time, and now right. All of a sudden the LA media's got sharp teeth. Whoever buys that is a bigger fraud than the LA media itself. I mean, of course they have a chaotic culture. They had a freaking homeless guy returning punts running around their facility all offseason and saying Clay Helton was on the golf simulator. What did you think their culture was like?
Right. It's been years. It's been a half decade. I mean, of this just complete mediocrity with one Rose Bowl season that was saved by Sam Darnold. Essentially, it was Sam Darnold that helped carry a team to one outlier season amongst a series of mediocrities.
And all of this happened when Pete Carroll just did too much and could not be controlled by the university. So then they just basically hired people that they could control from then on. Lane Kiffin, remember the narrative then? Remember that day, Matt, on the air? You're going to bring in his dad. Don't worry, his dad's coming.
He'll be the adult in the room. His dad will be the, he'll be able to help and guide him.
Right.
Lane's the best.
And it was somebody they were comfortable with. It wasn't Bob Stoops or somebody coming in and hitting Pat Hayden upside the head with his puzo. You know what I mean? And then it was Steve Sarkisian. They hired a guy they were comfortable with, even though he was in the midst of some terrible personal problems. And then they hired even somebody weaker than that. You know, so they're going to have to bite the bullet and hire a real guy.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it.
Well, I'll tell you, I mean, think about who I just watched yesterday, right? Like, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, Scott Turner's the OC, Norv's son. I mean, he's done great things in the NFL. Is it that, like, is that too small of a name, like successful offensive coordinators from places? Like,
I don't know. They got to be able to, that would be underwhelming. I mean, considering,
right?
I mean, they've got
like, there's no sizzle there.
Yeah, they've got to make a statement to the country, and then that. And most importantly, the head coach has got to go out. I mean, they've got to make the Pete Carroll, Norm Chow hire. They've got to make that hire and go forward, because what UCLA is doing is surging. And that was a long process, but Chip Kelly's got it going in his direction, and the writing's on the wall. And I don't know if this would have happened this way, because obviously USC likes to control their football program. I'm not sure it would happen this way, Matt, if UCLA wasn't doing what they were doing. And if Oregon didn't beat Ohio State on Saturday.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of... You can feel buzz on the UCLA program. I mean, there is buzz. It's a fun team to watch. It's a physical team. All these people came out with her purple and gold, screaming and yelling about Sissy Blue. And next thing you know, you punch them in the mouth and people get excited. And there's zero excitement around that team, around USC. I mean,
well, the intro, there's a lot of excitement when they come out with the torches and the music.
Well, you know, new video guys. You know, unfortunately, those guys left too. So maybe they lost a little of their sizzle there.
It must have been it.
They decided they were one and done.
Lots to talk about today. Chargers, Rams, Trojans, Bruins, and Dodgers. No Clippers, Adam. Sorry, you bitch. AM570 LA Sports. All right, that was unwarranted.